evening and welcome to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson. I'm the Executive Director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Don't forget, you can always take us with you when you're on the move by downloading the Guardian Radio app from the App Store or Play Store, or you can go to the website www.guardiantalkradio.com and just click on the live stream button, or you can get your radio and actually go to 96.9, like old people like me do. So anyhow, I have lots of young people in the studio tonight, which is making me feel even older than usual. All very talented Bahamian artists who have back-to-back shows opening up. So really, if one more person complains that there's nothing to do in Nassau, I'm just going to really lose my temper. Because there's always something happening in the cultural community if you get engaged with it. There's always a lot going on. So I'm going to start with the show coming up at Dungalik. Dungalik is on Village Road. It's Pam Burnside's space. And there's a show opening on Friday night called Identity with Spurgeonique Morley and Enoe Harris-Smith. So, Spurgeonique, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
How are you? I haven't seen you in a long time.
It's been a while.
Where have you been hiding?
Work. So that's about it.
So last time I saw your work out there, we actually had some on display at the NAGB last year in the permanent exhibition for quite some time. We had some nudes. Mm-hmm. You were doing ceramics.
Yes.
Still?
I actually haven't done ceramics in a very long time, sadly. But I'm working on getting back to it this year. But mm-hmm. I've been branching out into different mediums, just mm-hmm. trying to explore and grow and see how I can teach myself different things.
Well, sometimes necessity is the mother of invention.
Yes.
So, right?
Yeah.
So, and is that just because, like, kiln and clay? And because that's not an easy thing to
come
by.
It's not an easy thing, right? Yes. That's part of it. Mm-hmm. And it's also finding time to actually make something that I think is worthy of being seen also. So, and having time to make something that's worthy of being seen. But a lot of it is also materials and where mm-hmm. to fire mm-hmm. and where mm-hmm. to glaze and stuff like that. So mm-hmm. it's kind of half and half.
So what have you been turning your expertise to in the last year or so?
More graphite, digital work, coloring pencils.
Mm-hmm.
I've always done coloring pencils, but I'm trying to, I wouldn't say perfect, but get it to a point where I am very comfortable in the medium, because mm-hmm. I wasn't really, or I was doing it in a way that it was just mediocre in mm-hmm. my standards, mm-hmm. and I'm trying to elevate that at
okay,
this point.
Okay, so what are we going to see at Identity then? Is that going to be color pencil?
No, Identity isn't color pencil. Identity is digital collage.
Okay.
Yes, that's what that will be.
So you're working on the computer. Are you scanning drawings and working on them, or is it all made in the computer?
All computer-based, yeah.
Yeah, it's really interesting, actually, because I didn't realize until we had the LeVar Monroe retrospective that, I mean, I knew his early work and I knew a lot of it was, like, digital, but it was really an issue of space, right? He was at UB, he was a young father, he was literally living in a one-room apartment. And, you know, now you think of his work and it's hugely expansive, but he really started small too. Do you find that a struggle as a young artist, just, again, having the space, whether it's the head space or the time space? Or the physical space, is that one of the challenges you have?
Physical space is definitely a challenge. I mean, I've wanted to have my own personal studio space for a while, but, you know, that takes time
mm-hmm. yeah.
to get there.
Time,
but
money, all the rest
of
it.
All of yeah. that. But so I find myself working basically mainly in my room,
mm-hmm.
and that limits size-wise mm-hmm. to an extent. But I would also love to, you know, expand that size. So mm-hmm. that is a major mm-hmm. issue when it comes to mm-hmm. size-wise.
Yeah, but do you think it also, like, affects what you want to make? Because you're,
yes.
you know, or also your, like, your commitment to practice. I mean, it's harder. I know I used to work at home. And when
yes.
you work at home, you think, like, oh, this is going to be so great. I'm going to get so much work done because I just have to get out of my, I just have to walk from my bedroom. But in fact, it's almost more distracting because you mm-hmm. are never able to separate from,
yeah, artwork, from
cleaning the
personal,
dishes,
yes.
from, like, doing the paper you have to write. So do you find that a challenge as well, like finding, like, time that you can really dedicate to your practice?
Yes.
How do you overcome that?
I think one good thing about being a teacher is that also helps me to take time away to actually create work.
Mm-hmm.
Because most of the work that I did for Transforming Spaces last year, I did in the classroom.
Okay.
In front of my students.
Mm-hmm.
And along with helping them do their assignments, them watching me work as well,
mm-hmm.
It motivates them and also motivates me.
Mm-hmm.
So in a way, that is, my classroom has also become sort of my studio space.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, well, and I think also you can learn from them in
definitely
a way, right?
Learn a lot from my students.
How
lot.
Old are they?
Seven, grades 7 through 9, so that's about...
Yeah.
Yeah, 10 through 14, 13. Yeah.
So different ages. So does it help you see your work through different eyes to look at it from the perspective of your students when they're watching you work?
Yes, because everyone has a different
eyesight
perspective, thought process about what they're seeing. So when I start a drawing or just some little doodle that has a completely different thought process going on in my head about what it is, when they see it and tell me what they think it is, who they think it is, how it looks, it kind of changes everything and puts in a different perspective for myself from what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times when that happened, I was able to switch a lot of things or create different things or come up with different ideas to give them to branch out with it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's it helps.
So identity, did you have the name before you paired up with Inoue, who's sitting here very quietly? But I'm gonna drag you in eventually. Was it a theme that you came up with and made work to the theme, or were you working and like how did it come about that you decided to do a show together? Was it just like, hey, the work's looking great?
It was very random, kind of, because both of us were doing our own separate works,
mm-hmm.
but they fit very well together with mm-hmm. each other. So we decided to come together with it. And seeing our bodies of work completed, we decided to come up with a name, identity, to fit with it.
Okay. So what are we going to see? What have you been working on? Is it surreal? Is it realistic? Is it portraits? Is it, like, what can you describe? I mean, digital can be lots of things.
Yeah. It's mainly portraits.
Mm-hmm.
It's a self-explorative work.
Mm-hmm.
Body of work.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll see a lot of portraits. Mm-hmm. I don't want to give too much away. I mean, there isn't too much to give away, but I mean, it's digital work and you'll see it's based on
But not other people, artists, or you?
No, just the artist.
Just you.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're going to see Spurge's face just all over the place. Why do you think that's a trope that artists do? Like, it's so common in the history of art, like self-portrait, like it's you know, it's not just, obviously we in mm-hmm. the region have a specific attraction to identity because of the history of the region and exploring really mm-hmm. roots and ideas of who we are in a young nation, but do you think that's something that like all artists do? Is there,
I don't know, for me I feel like drawing myself was the first thing I tried,
mm-hmm.
the first thing I was really comfortable the first thing I was comfortable trying to let myself do, especially mm-hmm. when it came to drawing something, it was the only thing I felt like, okay, let me try to draw myself before I draw anybody else. Because if I draw myself terrible, well, it's fine. I could practice that.
That's true.
But to draw someone else, I feel like that's at least that's where I started off. Like I wanted to use myself first before I used anybody else. I don't know if that's for everybody or if they just they're shaking their heads. Yes. Yeah, so I think it's just a comfort thing to mm-hmm. begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And then as you go along, it guides you. It helps you to perfect yourself, and then it's more comfortable to perfect others or break others down, however you decide to choose your art career based on mm-hmm. portraits.
Mm-hmm.
I think you start with yourself.
But I guess, like, even if you're not going to do self-portraits, mm-hmm. it's that thing of, like, sometimes you see pictures of artists and they're, like, they're testing expressions, right? Mm-hmm. It's like they're doing their angry face mm-hmm. and their happy face.
Yes.
I had an artist once who did these digital works. His name's Martin Liebscher, and he did these digital works where he it was almost like performance-based. He would take a space and he would appear in it like hundreds of times, like doing different things, you know. Awesome. So in a theater, like hanging off the balcony or like picking his nose or whatever. Like, mm-hmm. and he did each one. And one time I remember someone asking, like, why is it always you? And mm-hmm. he said, just because I wouldn't make anyone else do this. He's like, it would just, you know, exactly. each one of these images takes like, you know, 14 hours of shooting. I just would never ask another human being to do that. So I think it's quite a common thing. Mm-hmm. So if you go back to clay, do you think you'd take the yourself back into there too?
I think so. Just because I haven't done it in a while. And I feel like I've drifted from it so long that I need to get back to a comfort zone.
Yeah.
So more than likely, I would start off with myself before I branch into any other ideas or endeavors about the medium.
We should probably, you know, it's interesting because the Chelsea Pottery in London, I know, started out as a space where people could cost share, right? Mm. There was one kiln and, you know, you booked time on it and everyone paid like 3 farthings or whatever it was back in the day. It would be sort of interesting to be able to set something up like that here where there was like a shared kiln. But I know that ceramicists can be like very, very, very particular about their kilns.
Yes. Yes. It would be cool. I would be interested. But like you said, some people are... It's a very... sensitive medium.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you become one with the medium and you become one with the clay and you become one with your firing time and your firing schedules and what you do personally, and every ceramist is different in how they fire their thing. So, and explosions are terrible.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Explosions are terrible. So,
I'm sure they're absolutely heart-wrenching. So it's going off on a completely different topic, but since you are a teacher and we've touched on that, what do you feel? I mean, again, I know there's a lot of struggles just being an artist in the community. And again, we've talked about like studio space and materials and all these things, and you know, having a big enough even buying public, like purchasing public, which is why everyone has to go have a job because the market's not big enough to support everybody. What are the challenges being a teacher for the students who want to learn about art? If you're comfortable talking about them on the air.
challenges. for them, mainly, I would say, well, for those who want to learn, because there are some of them who don't really feel like the subject is that important, mm-hmm. and they're in that age where some of them really don't think it's that important. Mm-hmm. If it's not math and English, then it's not mm-hmm. really a mm-hmm. focus for mm-hmm. them.
Just absorbed from the community at large, right?
Yes. Yeah. But for some of those who are gifted with it, like mm-hmm. even if they're not good at drawing, they have that want and desire to actually learn the mm-hmm. subject and the mm-hmm. topic. I would say materials.
Mm-hmm.
Having the sufficient funds to get materials for the subject, and because something that's so expensive, they don't really like it falls on the teachers.
I heard that a lot, that it falls on the teachers to like bring supplies to the classroom for
the subject. So that's the biggest, I think that's the biggest challenge for those students who are really interested in the subject.
Okay. Well, so anyone listening, if you have a giant heart and you love people, go buy some supplies for your local school.
Yes.
Because also, you know, we found that again, post hurricane is such a great way for people to also just express mm-hmm. emotions. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even if you don't want your child to be an artist, it's still of such value. And so those things should be really supported. So we've been hearing from Spurgeonique Morley, who's one of the artists opening on Friday night at Dungalik in the exhibition Identity. She is sharing that platform with Enoe Harris-Smith, who we will hear from after the break, who's like gearing up, who's like getting ready to get on the mic. And that opening is on Friday night. So in 2 nights' time at Dungalik on Village Road between 6 p.m. and 9 p.m. And you know, go out there, even if you don't think you know much about art, like there's always nice, interesting people and nice things to look at. So just go out and meet some of the art community, because generally it's a really awesome place. And Dungalik's a really wonderful space. They're on Village Road. It supports a lot of local artists. Has a craft store, which is open most of the week next door. It's a great place if you have friends in town and they want to buy some really interesting gifts to go, or if you have a birthday coming up. And they also have a framing shop next door called The Place for Art. So it's a really kind of wonderful space. They have a farmer's market on the weekend. It's a super interesting creative space. And it's that lovely, colorful building on Village Road, like at the top of the hill. closer to the Shirley Street end. So that's Dungalick between 6 and 9 on Friday night. We're going to go to a quick break. You are listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson. I'm the Executive Director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. We're going to be right back after this break.